Hello and welcome to another installment of the Full Force Monthly, brought to you by Hoarder, the collector's app. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and in this regular series we get stuck into specific G.I. Joe related topics with different special guest hosts, or the same hosts every single time, really. So who's joining me on this episode? Well, first up, we have one half of the Articulated Points YouTube channel and my regular co-host on the Full Force Weekly. It's Patrick, not Picard Stewart. And guess who's back again for the fourth time in a row? Yes, it's the...
Wow.
I know. I was surprised. It's the General himself, Justin, four times General's Joe's Bell. Okay, then, we thought we would look at some of our most wanted G.I. Joe classified animal companion sets. We will start with Cobra and then do the Joes next month, so just chill out, everybody. Throw in another version of therapy and you've got yourselves a brand new episode of What Is It, Pat?
It's the Full Force Monthly.
Yay!
Hey, all right, I'm at the right show. I was worried for a minute.
Did you think you got on the wrong bus or the wrong train there?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't recognize these two weirdos. awesome, good to have you back. Justin, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing good, yeah. It was a little dicey this morning. Wasn't sure I was going to be able to make it, but things are sort of settled out, so I think we're good to go. But
Was it slicey or just was it just slicey? Was it slicey and dicey?
It was slicey and dicey, yeah. There was a little slice and a little dice, a little bit of both.
I can't think of any other characters that have an ice. Was it Icy Viper?
It was a little chabang out there. I almost didn't make it, yeah.
That's gross. I'm surprised you didn't use that opportunity to bring up Dojo, honestly.
I was trying to, not to be too self-serving here.
And how are you doing, Pat?
I'm feeling slash and slicey, a little bit of Valor versus Venom, I guess. I'm going a little bit different.
Nice.
You guys.
Pat's having
Love
a slash it. By the
yeah.
sounds.
I'm wearing my Sergeant Savage shirt, too. So,
wow,
yeah, Joe thinks you like that no one else does. I'm representing.
I'm wearing Similar. This, even though we didn't play the best last night, but I'm wearing it anyway.
So you're wearing that because of Bazooka, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's my
tribute to Bazooka.
Awesome. Right then, well, we are discussing the interesting side of G.I. Joe. One of those kind of aspects of G.I. Joe I've always loved myself, actually, and that's animal companions today. Is this something, before we get stuck into this, guys, is this something that you have enjoyed as G.I. Joe collectors from childbirth? Have you guys enjoyed the animal aspect of the line?
Yes, I can remember walking into, and this is a callback, that I don't know how many people will know this store, but it was a James Way. I remember walking into James Way, because you know how it was. Back in the 80s, you didn't have the internet or a list of things coming at you. You just walked into the store one day, and there were the new toys. And I remember the obscure store that I happened to be in for 1984 was the James Way, and there was Mutt on the pegs, and my mind was blown. I had to have that figure. So yes, Animal Companions and G.I. Joe is a perfect mix, and it's nice that they don't do it all the time, but I love it when they do.
I have to agree on that one. Justin, what your feelings towards animals? Hate them, right?
I'm a little uncomfortable with that question,
only because we've seen your search history.
I agree with Pat entirely. I mean, I think they made a great compliment for the figures. I had some really fond memories back in the day, from my childhood of really, Mutt and Junkyard were obviously great. I loved, Spirit and Freedom. That was, one of the highlights of my early collecting days, just having, there you go. And what I really loved about the Animal Companions was sort of, watching the Sumbo cartoon back then, and they were like their own characters practically, I mean, they really had some unique personalities.
Timber. I'll tell you one thing about Timber is the one that always gets me, the scene that always gets me is the Indiana Jones kind of chase through the on the mine shaft kind of carts and everything, and Shipwreck just goes, Timber, take over, and Timber just without any hesitation just straight up there, I'm on it.
Yeah.
It's like gets me every time. I'm crying with laughter when I see that. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, the Sumbo show had a great kind of influence as well, didn't they, in the animal companions themselves, big time.
Definitely. Yeah.
We haven't got a lot to get through. We've only picked one each for Cobra. Because usually when we do this, I'm like, yeah, we'll do our top 15s each, and then we'll do it's like we 3 hours later.
And
so,
we'll finish in an hour. Yeah, no, we won't, Chris.
No, we will not finish in an hour, Christopher. So let's move on then. Let's get into that chat where we're gonna pick three Cobra animal companion sets that we'd love to see in the classified line. Right then, people, we are talking animals today, and specifically for Team Cobra. Each presenter has chosen a classic figure and animal companion duo they would like to see in the Classified series, specifically for the Cobra team. Don't worry, we will cover the Joe team on the next monthly episode. Okay, let's get stuck in then with Justin's first choice. Take it away, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I mean, you asked us to come up with these ideas, and at first it's like a Cobra with an animal companion. I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot to choose from. And then I actually started looking into it. I'm like, wow, you know, I'm very wrong. There is a lot to choose from. Cause I went in one direction initially thinking, yeah, that's an obvious choice. But as I looked deeper into it, I changed my mind a little bit because it's tough when it comes to the animal companions. You know, are you really picking a character because they come with the animal, or are you picking a character just because you really love that character and they just happen to come with an animal? In my case, it's probably a little bit of both. I'm a big fan of the Iron Grenadiers, and I don't know if folks will remember when Chris was asking us to come up with some ideas for you know, small vehicles or deluxe figures. I came up with the Iron Grenadier version of Destro with a Despoiler, just because I really love that sub-team. So obviously, when you're talking about animal companions, I just naturally went to Voltar. You know, Voltar was Destro's general, you know, kind of his second in command for the Iron Grenadiers. Had this fantastic uniform. I know a lot of people complain that it's, you know, pink, but I just love that helmet and goggles. I love all the tech detail throughout his torso, and he comes with a really badass looking vulture. So I mean, it's he's kind of a no-brainer. I think you know, Classified is doing a great job covering a lot of bases, and I think people forget just how much stuff is still out there untapped.
Yeah.
And they haven't even touched the Iron Grenadiers yet, and I think they could really do some amazing things. I'm picturing, you know, a Voltar that's got like a removable helmet, and they could just do some really, really cool things with this character. And I think it would be, you know, having a, they could potentially use sort of a freedom base for the Vulture with maybe some creative retooling, or they could just do something totally new. I don't know. Classified has a tendency to kind of surprise me. You look at figures and you say, well, that would be an easy repaint into something else, but then they do whole new tooling.
It's brand new. Yeah.
Just so who knows what they could do, but I think there's a lot of potential. And I'll admit, you know, a lot of this is based because, you know, I love the Iron Grenadiers and I love Voltar, and, you know, the Vulture just happens to kind of come with him. But I think that's still a figure and animal companion I'd really like to see. And it's kind of a little bit outside the norm as well. So it kind of ticks all the right boxes in my mind.
I have to also give a shout out to I think it's Earl Norum that did the art for the card, because it looks like a Norum piece. Yeah. And he was definitely doing a lot of the artwork in that kind of era, I believe. But that card art is sensational, and the fact that the Vulture is in the background, like almost coming into land on the backpack kind of thing, is just so good. So I have to agree with you on that one, mate. I think Voltar would be a great addition to the Classified series.
And it's amazing kind of the stories that are told through that, some of that artwork. I mean, they're taking, you know, a guy with a pink uniform and this bizarre helmet and guy is totally ludicrous. I mean, nothing like this looks like real, but that card art just brought him to life. And that was just one thing I really loved about G.I. Joe, is just that it took these most ridiculous concepts and made them feel real. And part of that was the card art. Part of that was the figure design. Part of that was Larry Hama's writing. It just all really came together where you get these ludicrous, you know, ideas kind of all piled together, and they somehow, you know, feel more realistic in some weird way.
I remember getting that figure for the first time as well and just being like, oh, this is so cool. Because there was always, I think there was an added bonus when I bought figures. If it came with an animal companion, that is like this extra level, isn't it? It's like another addition that they've thrown in there. It's like a really interesting bonus. And the fact that it could, like, you know, perch on his backpack as well was just like perfect. Like, loved that. So yeah, I'm really down for that. I think that's a really good shout, honestly. And I like the fact that, because I think initially you'd message me back to say, when I first asked about this, you were saying, like, I'm kind of thinking Raptor.
Yeah.
And that, and because we've discussed Raptor a few times in the past. I think we'd all love to see that figure. But it's funny how we've all gone in like different directions that you'd kind of expect for this one anyway. But Pat, what are your thoughts on Voltar, mate?
I think that with some of the Cobra animals that didn't get names, it's interesting to think about which ones of them feel like they were an individual character and which ones feel like they were one of many.
Yeah.
For me, if he had said Raptor, I would have said that, you know, we need several birds because that one feels like it's one of many. But with Voltar, it feels like if they did it in a 6-inch scale, it would again be one where we'd finally get a name for it. And I think that needs to happen because it feels like an individual to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The other thing is that,
by the way, you know, Raptor's, Raptor's,
has it been named?
Yeah, it's got a name. The name's on the package.
No.
Yeah. Do you want to have a guess as to what it is?
Bird.
Talon is the name of Raptor's.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
that was on the original 87 package. Did I miss that too?
Down the side of the you know, where it's got the accessory loadout. Yeah, yeah.
I never knew that.
I didn't know that.
It's an interesting did you know. I will double check because I'm positive that is the case. If you go to 3D Joe's, I think he has it written out on there too, but
yeah, he painstakingly went through a lot of them trying to make sure that he had the exact verbiage that was on the side of the package written for each figure.
Yep, his Falcon is called Talon, and it is written on the on the side.
Wow.
It does explain that he has an ultralight airfoil system, which is that hilarious cosplay wings backpack.
Part of the reason I didn't go for Raptor in this is because I love Raptor, and I think he deserves kind of his own little spotlight. But it was tempting to go that way. But yeah, just as a kid, having that figure with kind of that cloth wings, I love that character so much. He was so ridiculous, but awesome.
I feel like Raptor's got to be done. But sorry, Pat, I interrupted you.
That's almost feels backwards to me because that's the one where I feel like it didn't need an individual name. That there could be multiples. I mean, if that's his specialty, I'm sure it's not just with one bird.
Yeah, he's a falconer, so the expectation is that he's got an entire aviary of these bad boys. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but with Voltar, I think one of the things that's still really cool about for me about the 6-inch line is the fact that they're coming a lot faster now. But I still get the feeling that they're taking time.
Yeah,
you know, whenever they're doing the designs, they're not maybe going through them as fast as they were a little bit in the 25th. And some of these more obscure characters, if they can plant themselves at the right moment, I think that Voltar has really not been revisited properly since the original figure. Have we even really gotten a Voltar at all? I guess since he died in the
Club. The club did a couple different versions for the convention sets, but
honestly, I can't even remember the club Voltar figures.
Yeah, there was a couple of modern style Iron Grenadier sets. One of them was, well, were there two other Voltars, or was it just, I knew there were two Darklons. Were there two Voltars too, or just one?
That they replaced him with General Mayhem.
I'm only aware of two Voltars, the 1988 and the 2012.
Yeah, I think the 2012 is the modern style Voltar. Yeah.
Which I think is basically what they used the Barricade for, Barricade's body mostly, didn't they? Like all those kind of like weird.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what came first. I'm not sure what came first in terms of the design, but yeah, I do agree. I think Voltar needs to be revisited, definitely.
Yeah, see, that's right. This one was so forgettable to me because it's just an accelerator suit.
That was what it was. Thank you.
It looks very silly for Voltar. The helmet is good, and the head is good, and you know, the accessories are the old ones, which isn't an update at all.
Right.
So yeah, this is one of the ones where it really needs to be explored with the ability of designing it again from the ground up.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be it's a great a great pick for that reason.
Definitely, definitely. Well, that's a great start. We're already into the Iron Grenadiers, which still have hardly been even thought about in the Classified series so far. Obviously, the only thing you could really say is Iron Grenadiers is Destro and his multiple facets. So I'm kind of almost having recently gotten Serpentor, by the way, which is linked to this because he has a beautiful little animal companion, this fantastic King Cobra. And
I love that.
Yeah. One of the things that Pat and I were laughing about I think we were all talking about it, was the original vintage Serpentor box art where the animal companion is on the side of the is on the side of the air chariot, just like just absolutely love
the dog in a pickup truck.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So yeah, that kind of relates. So anyway, we'll move on then. Thank you for that start, Justin. That's brilliant. And sure. I think Iron Grenadiers, that needs to happen pretty soon. I think that, like I said, that what I was talking about with the Serpentor thing was the fact that I think a Despoiler and a Iron Grenadier Destro are so doable now. Just throw it at that price point. Do it the same thing. The cape, all the extras and all the bits and pieces, and throw in the Despoiler as well. And I think you've got another, you know, SDCC exclusive or another PulseCon exclusive or something like that. But I think that would be perfect. And then we can start seeing Iron Grenadiers, Annihilators, Targats, Undertows. The list keeps going. Not very much further than that. Voltar, there you go. So that would be great. And then you're kind of covering
the Nullifiers, and you got those guys too. Yeah.
You're kind of covering lots of different price points as well, aren't you? You'd have your kind of like Destro Deluxe vehicle type thing. You'd have Voltar and an animal companion. You'd have the kind of army builder standard releases. So you could definitely, you know, Targat could be like a little bit higher price point to get all of his gear going on. Anyway,
or Annihilator with his helicopter backpack.
That makes more sense, actually.
I just hope that if they do a bunch of Iron Grenadiers, that they leave the Cobra symbols off of them. It drives me crazy whenever you'll get like an Undertow update and there's a big Cobra logo on his head. Yep. These are Iron Grenadiers.
Yeah, it's got to be Mars.
Not Cobras.
It's got to be Mars. At least they have been pushing the Mars logo, at least on Classified.
Yeah, and I think that's cool.
On the
Especially
stuff,
on the equipment.
Yeah, on the stuff where it's kind of like Cobra Mars crossover, at least.
Well, they're the weapon supplier, so their logo could be on some stuff.
Exactly.
You know? And even commonly between the two. That totally makes sense to me.
But yeah, they need to do an Iron Grenadier specific logo again, don't they? And bust that onto the new stuff. Yeah. Okay, cool.
That'd be cool.
Right then, Pat, they'll take us through your choice then, please, my good man.
Well, like Justin, I thought, well, this is going to be a really short list. And then I had to go kind of through the list of things and pick out the one that I thought would make the most sense. And part of it, a large part of this is also because of... because
I was going to choose
it. Figure. Were you going to choose this one?
What, my favorite ever Cobra trooper that they've ever done? I think I might have had this on my list.
I actually didn't realize this was going to be the one you're going to choose. I have a tendency to do that, don't I? I just claim something that one of the other...
I was going to just go for Sergeant Savage just to piss you off, but no, I'm just kidding.
If there had been an animal companion in Sergeant Savage, that particular figure probably would have done better.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Anyway, I was only joking, Pat. Go on, buddy.
Hydro Viper.
Nice.
Absolutely stunning.
See, that was one that would not have occurred to me until, you know, you really started looking at the figure loadouts, and then you see, oh yeah, he's got the Stingray, yeah.
What I'm excited about is hearing how Pat's going to articulate the Devil Ray.
Well, yeah, see, that's the big debate in my mind, is how large do you make the Devil Ray? Because, well, I mean, they can be quite large in real life.
There wasn't the one recently that was found that was like the biggest one they've ever seen, and it was like, I'm talking like in the last week or so, one was found. I'm not sure if it was a Devil Ray or a Manta Ray. It might have been a Devil Ray actually, and it was massive. Like, we're talking ridiculous size,
like whale sized or size of a boat.
Yeah, it was.
Unless I mean, I don't really know about aquatic life. And so I Googled the size of them just to try to figure out, well, you know, what's the range here? And, you know, how big should that figure have been, and it does seem like they come in that smaller variety, but also in ridiculously enormous as well.
A possible giant manta ray nursery discovered off coast of Florida. That sounds amazing. I'll see if I can find it for the show, but there was an absolutely massive one that I saw recently found, which
And I don't know if it's just like internet, you know, the clickbait kind of stuff. So I don't really know, but it does seem for sure, like with some pictures next to people swimming, that they are, you know, larger than people and also found similar to what Hydra Viper came with.
Yeah.
So a lot of range there of what they could do. So they could do like a Croc Master pack with this if they wanted to. And I think that would be neat.
Would you have multiple? Would you have like maybe two or three come with
it? Yeah, I think you could. I think you could have the large one and a small one in the same pack. I don't know what kind of articulation that I would want from it. Probably maybe the tail to be a little bit movable. It almost feels like just having it be rubbery works for this.
Perfect, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of animal for sure.
Imagine having like multiple points of articulation with like hinges. Like 500 points of articulation. It's the most articulation we've put in any figure ever, guys. And we've done it for the Devil Ray for Classified.
If anything, a wireframe. But those sometimes break through and cause other problems. Mm. So I'm just fine leaving that out. Just make it so that it can bend as somebody plays with it.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with that one. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe a hole for a post for it to, you know, be posable so that it looks like it's swimming underwater with him.
That would be nice. So fun to display, wouldn't it? Oh, my God. I mean, a Hydro Viper in general for the Classified series is going to be just gorgeous. I mean, I could see them doing it in the kind of similar way, like you just mentioned there, Pat, as like a bit smaller with like, you know, how they've done Spirit and Freedom, how they've done, how they're going to do Shipwreck and Polly.
Yeah.
I could see them doing the Hydra Viper a little bit like more standard retail with the figure. But the problem is, it comes with like a lot of decent, cool, interesting gear. So I wonder if that would push it a little bit higher, or it would probably push it into the higher price point. I don't know, but not that that's like, I mean, we're just dreaming at the moment of what cool things we could see. But I mean, what would you prefer?
Well, honestly, right now, I would prefer to reel in the price of some of the classified.
Fair point. But,
you know, I wouldn't like to have them make it and leave parts out, because I could actually see that happening as well, just costing out the Manta Ray entirely and just putting in the Hydro Viper. I really wouldn't want that. I would also like to know maybe you know some more about this. What's the story on him having a Devil Ray with him? Like, is it just an animal that he's encountering?
Well, I think...
Or has Cobra gone and trained a Devil Ray?
There's nothing in the file card that suggests anything about the Devil Ray, but I do believe there's probably some info in one of Dan's books for the Hydra Viper, which I'll have a look at after the fact and then put it in after the fact if I can find it. But as long as the connection I make here is because they called them the Demons of the Deep and the Devil Ray... Devil, demon, that kind of thing. So I figured that was the connection. Yeah. That was a connective tissue. But it felt like quite a random thing to throw in terms of like aquatic life. But then it's perfect at the same time when you think about what that trooper is all about. The Devil Ray kind of goes along with it perfectly. Do you know what I mean? It's weird, it's kooky, it's like, it's a bit dark, it's a bit like ominous. So I think they go together really well, at least. And I think the reasoning was because they're the Demons of the Deep and the Devil Ray kind of made sense.
Yeah, that's kind of what I assumed, because it is specifically a Devil Ray, not just any Manta Ray. So.
Yeah, like Stingray or... Yeah, yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that makes sense to me. But I, at the same time, for story-wise, I would like to know, you know, are they paired together, or is this just a creature passing by?
I wonder if they're doing some sort of like Dino Riders kind of mind manipulation kind of thing, where they're trying to like manipulate Because I mean, how you can you're not going to be able to train a devil ray, are you? No matter what you do, that thing is not.
Have you ever
be...
tried, Chris? I mean, come on.
I mean, a couple of times. Know. That's why I don't have any like legs left. Yeah, that's why there's only half of my body remain intact. I would imagine it's a little bit of the Dr. Mindbender sorcery going on there. Honestly, with that. But I love...
Imagine him trying to fit a devil ray into the brainwave scanner or whatever.
Slopping around all over the place. What I do love about the Hydra Viper as well, though, in relation to that, is all of the extra stuff that's done to these people to make them Hydra Vipers. Like, they increase their subcutaneous fat production so that they can, stay warm deep in the ocean. They have... and to protect them from, the pressures of the deep as well. But then also, like, the webbed hands they give them. And there's other stuff they do to them as well to, like, make their lungs, the lung capacity, able to kind of, like, breathe underwater longer. So all these, like, incredibly horrible, inhumane experiments that are done on these characters to allow them to, you know, operate really deep underwater. So, yeah, I think... The backstory there is just so much interesting, cool stuff you can get stuck into, really.
Yeah. I mean, the Hydra Viper, that's one of my favorite aspects of the Hydra Viper, is the whole idea of, like, surgical and genetic manipulation to make them more efficient kind of underwater, the demons of the deep. And I love that aspect. That sort of thing is part of why when I helped write kind of the Renegades game kind of RPG,
Clang.
I actually included a Hydra Viper in there because I really love that notion of having those, you know, kind of evil underwater monsters, a little bit more extreme than some of the normal Cobra troops that you deal with. But that's I've always fantastic. Liked that aspect of G.I. Joe. They kind of have that line between, the Star Viper in the comics, and the Strato Viper for that matter. They like surgically alter them to withstand high G's and always taking that like one step, kind of staying 15 minutes in the future, sort of thing. And that's really one of the things I've loved about G.I. Joe from day one. Just the way they kind of walk that line between what's real and what's sci-fi or fantasy, and they're able to blend it all together really, really nicely.
Absolutely. Sorry, Justin, you'll just take any opportunity to rub that in our faces, won't you? That you've done work on the brand officially. Oh, look at me.
I've got to take whatever little victories I can get, Chris.
I'm just kidding. We are so proud of you for doing that, buddy. And also, I can't wait to get stuck into that, honestly, into that RPG that you've had a strong hand in, literally. I guess a webbed hand in by the sounds of things as well. I also like Hydra Vipers because of this guy right here. I feel like the Kraken could be like a cool way to, they could introduce the Kraken into Classified and it could be like the team leader.
That would
for
be fantastic.
Hydra Vipers.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Like they perfected the genetic manipulation with him and like the rest of the Hydra Vipers, they couldn't quite get there, but they're close, so he's kind of the cream of the crop and the
cheaper.
Others are...
It's cheaper to just give him a few injections rather than
I'd love it if the Classified figure came with like extra hands, and stuff like that too. So you could actually have the webbed hands but also have, more normal hands so they can grip weapons and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff they could do with it.
I think the Hydra Viper is a good one for like a deluxe-ish kind of figure. I know obviously that does push it into the stratosphere monetarily, but still I think it's some of them I feel like they have to, either there's too much cool stuff they come with, they need to ensure that they they continue with that. But yeah, Pat, this is a good choice, bud. I think we're both on board with that. I'd love to see the Devil Ray like you say, like one piece but just flexible. And they could even like incorporate what they did with Crocmaster's Fiona. Like Fiona's tail has got like an element of bend and curve to it, where you can kind of like pose it in different positions, and maybe the tail could do the same thing on the ray, but like, it could slightly curve up at the end, just like the original figure,
I could see a small ball joint or something on the tail. That could kind of make sense to me, especially since the tail could, if it's depending on how hard the plastic is, sometimes you want it to be something that can pop off so that it doesn't break off and things like that.
Definitely. Man, the textures on that detail and that sculpt are going to be insane. Well, let's move on then to my one. I've got my choice to talk about now. So, Nir, let's do mine. Now, you'd probably wouldn't be forgiven for thinking that the Hydra Viper was my choice because I talked about it for so much. But as much as I do like that one, it wasn't actually my first choice, Pat. I was going to like push it because usually when we do these things, I'm like, I'm not going to do Lightfoot. Justin doesn't have to do hit and run, even though he did, etc., etc. I like to think, well, let's do something different because I've talked about the Hydra Viper loads and loads in the past. And the one I went to was probably an obvious one. It's one of the most iconic animal companions, I would say, in the G.I. Joe sphere, just because of how ludicrously amazing it is. And I remember, I'll tell you the little anecdote before I mention who it is, but I remember as a kid, I think it was, I want to say it was either the 89 or it was maybe early 90s, but it was either my first or my second trip to the US as a kid. And I go into the store and it's like a wall of G.I. Joe figures. I've said it many, many times in the past. One of those figures was a new Dreadnought and it was Naugahyde. And this figure leapt off the the pegs to me. Like the artwork, sensational. The character in this guy is just off the scale. And then to have a wild boar with a mohawk just absolutely pushes it into the upper echelons of G.I. Joe at its very, very best, in my opinion. Now, the figure like alone for Naugahyde, you know, the amount of personality on that sculpt is incredible. The size of him, he's way bulkier, like big muscles, huge like upper torso, and then like there was like this, I don't know, just really unique sculpt and texture on the figure in general. Like they managed to get that kind of texture effect of his animal print vest as well. Like I can feel it in my hand now. That, you know, they even got those like the lines and the detail and everything in that sculpt. And even the pants had a weird texture to them as well. And the fact that he had that kind of knife sheath on the front of his shin was really cool. He had the kind of like backpack, which was the quiver for his bow as well. And that massive like sniper rifle with the bipod on it, as if, you know, because obviously he's a poacher. That was the whole point of him. And I thought that was another cool aspect. The fact that he was this, they were taking like interesting themes for Dreadnoughts, weren't they? It was like, you know, Zanzibar the pirate, and you know, we get a poacher in there, and we'll get a mechanic in there, and we'll get, so they were kind of grabbing these like, you know, like these things that you kind of would associate with Dreadnoughts in a weird way. And they've made them like, it just worked. It worked perfectly. And yeah, the fact that, you know, the deco was really insane and awesome as well. The fact he had a tattoo. He had the most incredible head sculpt, which I haven't even talked about yet, where he had like an earring. He had this like crazy handlebar mustache, this incredible gurning face, and a removable hat as well, like a proper Crocodile Dundee classic. Which I just thought was just brilliant. So in terms of like the original figure, like and animal companion, just out of this world, and that big like knife as well on his arm, just absolutely like machete, basically, just brilliant, 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 like figure, everything about this was just amazing. And and like I said, the warthog was, or sorry, the wild boar was an amazing addition to the animal companions. And this is one where you definitely give it a name, and I don't know if it has one. I don't think it was ever given one. No, just boar is what he's called, which is a bit sad, isn't it? He's he's definitely not a boar, as in, you know, he's definitely not boring, but no, he is incredibly cool. So like I'm thinking in classified terms, you know, it would be like regular, like a body. I don't know any of the current bodies they could use, like the naked ones. Like Mindbender would work, honestly, in terms of like the build. And then a secondary vest with that animal print on would be outstanding. The tattoo on one arm, you know, like a quiver with some removable arrows in it, the bow, which they could reuse from, like, they've already got loads of bows out there. So I wouldn't mind if they reutilize Storm Shadow's compound bow, or if they reuse like the Zartan and Arctic Storm Shadow bow would be fine. So like any of those would be really cool. And then you could go to town on that boar. That sounds gross. You could go to design town on that boar with, like, you know, articulation up the wazoo, basically. And you do the same way they've done Timber, a little articulated tail, multiple points of articulation on the legs, and then a couple of, like, round the neck and the head and everything. And you've got, and the waist, and you've got an amazing addition, in my opinion, to the Classified series. Yeah. Thoughts, then?
Yeah, I mean, you hit a home run with everything you say. I mean, it, looking back throughout the G.I. Joe line, one of the other things that I, like, just love so much about it is that you could look at any year in G.I. Joe Real American Hero history and find these characters that don't have a following. You know, they rarely appeared in the comics or the cartoon. You know, nobody really knows who they are. People are like, well, you know, the best G.I. Joe was 85 to 87, and that's it. But then you go to 89 and you look at Naugahyde and you just say, look at this figure. This is, I'm not going to say he's a cast off. Every character is important, but this guy was not a central cog in the G.I. Joe machine. But if you look at the figure and look at the care with which they designed him and sculpted him and included all these accessories, it's obvious that every single figure designed in the G.I. Joe line has done so with a real eye on detail and execution. And they nailed it. And I love what you say about kind of how he could be presented in Classified too, because I'll admit, you know, Naugahyde has never really been my favorite Dreadnought from a personality perspective. But as you've, like, been talking about all the different elements of the figure, it's like, well, it's a fantastic figure. And seeing that in 6-inch scale would just be amazing. And you're thinking about it, well, how could, you know, they could balance him off, you know, like Rakondo, have like Rakondo versus Naugahyde stories going on, or you know, work him in with Shadow Tracker somewhere. I mean, there's just so many cool things you could do.
Outback
with Naugahyde. Outback, exactly. Yeah, he really is an unheralded character and an unheralded figure that deserves some of that recognition. And I think if Classified did him in those, you know, exacting details that you talked about, I think he would really open a lot of people's eyes. They would say, where was this guy, you know, in my childhood? And they're like, wow, 89, you know, I'd given up G.I. Joe by then and realize how stupid they were to have done that. And I think it's just a fantastic classic figure, and it can make a really, really great Classified figure as well.
Big time. And what about you, Pat?
Yeah, for sure. Naugahyde's one of those ones that, knowing that toys get features costed out, you just look at him and go, how did all of that end up in one package?
No kidding.
Yeah, because, I mean, even like as you're talking about it, you know, remembering the features in my mind, it's like, oh yeah, he did have the machete that can attach to his wrist. Yeah, he has just so many features. I would like to see how they would handle the pants, because I could see a really realistic blue jean texture
on him.
Which I don't know why that seems to tie the Dreadnoughts together to me. Like, when are they wearing just like some ratty, really lived in blue jeans? That seems to be like what I think of as being the Dreadnoughts uniform thing.
Smart casual attire for the Dreadnoughts. That's amazing.
Yeah, but the boar even had an earring. So, you know, people debate, was this something that he's hunting? Or no, it's definitely not. It's his pet. Yeah. It has an earring, so
I see it as like a pet that helps him in the poaching. You know, like, you know, he sends that after certain animals. He kind of does some damage, and then Naugahyde comes in and maybe finishes the job. Or, you know, like maybe he uses him to fetch the, you know, like he's one of those kind of like dogs that goes off and gets the game and then comes back with it in its mouth, kind of thing. So I do see it as like almost like a. An assistant in his nefarious deeds.
It's like which duck just... hunt, but with a boar. So instead of the dog poking up with a duck in its mouth, it's Naugahyde's boar.
I can't believe you swore on our episode, Justin. How dare you?
Duck hunt.
Hunt. Yeah, you have to be really careful. They really knew what they were doing with that particular game, didn't they? But love this. And also as well, one thing I will mention is I remember getting the figure... But the artwork was actually for the boar was kind of a little bit covered on his face, so you didn't see every single detail because you had that like the weapons storage kind of covering most of the boar. I'm not sure if the, I'm sure there is a, like an example of Norgahyde's artwork out there, like in full. But I don't think I've ever seen the boar in full. Honestly, I've never really looked. So I will try and find that. But it's so I love the artwork too on there. I think it's great. And there's just something. There's another thing as well, Pat, I was going to mention. We're talking about costing out. They did cost out the deco on that armband, didn't they? Because that was going to have some animal print on it.
Yeah, and I think on the hat as well. So if they costed out a little bit of deco rather than pieces.
Yeah, which I think was the right call in the end.
It's still amazing that all that stuff ended up in there.
Imagine that on the classified figure, though. They could definitely add that in the classified series, and then you could kind of do the print as it was intended, with like the brown border with the white inside, rather than just a brown splodge basically, which again still looks great on the figure. But if you could add that little detail on a bigger figure, then that's awesome. And that was the other thing as well. I'm not sure about. I have had this conversation with Pat in the past, but there was something about those little tampos that just had me looking and studying for so many years. Like there were so many figures that had somewhere you could definitely make out, like even like tiny writing inside, and then others that were kind of just a splotch, which you never really knew what the hell was going on with it until like a few years later, and it's like it comes out like the original design is actually here, you know, drawn out. And that was the same with this tattoo, G.I. Joe logo with a circle and a cross through it, like Ghostbusters style, just absolutely sensational.
Yeah, and one other thing I need to point out, just I was checking3D Joe's for some of the Naugahyde information, and an important line from his file card: he greases himself with rancid hog fat. So I mean, that's you gotta put him in classified just for that reason.
It's funny, I was looking at that as you said it as well. Absolutely brilliant. That's got to be a Larry card. I think when you can kind of tell the Larry cards because they go in certain directions that you just don't expect them to.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones are very much they stay in like an arena that you kind of the expectation is fulfilled. But with Larry's, it's always like, doesn't use deodorant or doesn't do this or rubs himself in hog fat and you're just like, where did that come from?
Larry he's got this astounding talent to use very short phrases to give you everything writing a bio the length of these file cards and giving us the kind of depth of these characters, that's a skill. That is a real skill that lots of people will never achieve throughout their entire lives of trying. And the fact he's it's almost effortless for him, it seems. And you can really tell in some of those file cards, like which ones are him and which ones are others, because
hit and runs as well, actually. Speaking of your fame.
Yeah.
The fact that one where it says he wasn't escaping, he was practicing.
Yeah.
Like that, just that it's alone just, tells you everything you need to know about that character's personality.
It is.
And their drive and their like focus and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like things like that. Yeah. Just by that little line done. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, for all the great work he's done for the comic throughout the years, I mean, the file cards are just. I can't say enough good things about just how, like I said, effortless. I'm sure it's not effortless. I'm sure it takes him a long time of grinding to get the words that way. But the way he just puts them down on the cards just makes it seem like he's just talking about it as somebody he knows. You know, it's not somebody. And he said that in the past, that he bases a lot of these on people that he knows. I'm kind of interested which one of his friends bathes themselves in rancid hog fat. But, he's kind of pointed that out in the past. And it's amazing. It really is amazing.
Amazing. Great stuff. Those are our Cobra choices, guys. Let us know in the comments what you want to see in the classified series in terms of animal companion sets. And strictly Cobra. We'll do G.I. Joe next month, don't worry. And we've already got, like, I think I've got a few already lined up that I want to see in the lineup. Some of them are obvious, so I'm probably going to go a little bit more obscure. I don't know about you guys. Probably going to do the same thing. Probably all choose the same.
I'm just going to pick whatever you're going to pick.
Thank you, Pat.
Take it.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to choose, and then when we start recording, I'm going to change my mind.
You have done that in the past.
I have done that, yeah.
But I appreciate it. I appreciate you just appear, that you just turn up. That's all. I'm just happy we're here talking about this dumb stuff. It's great. Next up then, guys, we are obviously delving into our next version therapy. Hey there guys, just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner slash developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding. Right then, continuing with our regular monthly segment now, Version Therapy, which is where we choose a single G.I. Joe or Cobra character and have a discussion on what action figure version is their best. Now, of course, we're all going to have different opinions on this based on when we were born, personal experience and so on, but that's where the fun lies. Feel free to let us know who your favourite action figure version is and why in the comments below as well. So who have we got next? Well, last month we looked at Roadblock due to the huge amount of figures he has and continues to get. And next up then, and due to the fact that we have been talking animal companions, we thought it would be a good time to visit Crocmaster. Is there ever a good time to visit Crocmaster? Probably not, right?
Probably not.
I would actually, let me take that back. Right, so Crocmaster then. Starting with Justin on this one, who then is your favorite buddy and why?
See, and these are always interesting because I think what we all sort of like to do is think outside the box a little bit. So, you know, it would be easy to say, well, the 87 version is an all-time classic. And it is, you know, I mean, it defined the character. It's a great figure, all sorts of interesting details, but
it's also a really good animal. The crocodile is really solid, you know. I know it's one piece, but it's a really good sculpt, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Yeah. So it's easy to fall back to that and say, yeah, that's the one, that's the best, you know, most defining version of Crocmaster. But as I kind of alluded to when we were talking about the Hydro Viper, you know, I really like this sort of, you know, genetic manipulation idea, this philosophy that Cobra is willing to kind of, you know, tweak their troopers, you know, with or without their permission to kind of improve their efficiency and performance. And for that reason, I really loved sort of the Valor versus Venom storyline. The idea of Cobra's Venom serum kind of using that to give their soldiers kind of, you know, animal traits that kind of enhanced their abilities a little bit. And Crocmaster was perfect, you know, subject for that because of his affinity for crocodiles. So I think when they released the Valor versus Venom Crocmaster, it really kind of blew me away. And there's a few different reasons. Like, number one, they took a character that I always liked, you know, even back when he came back in 87, when he first arrived in 87.
Yeah.
And they really brought him into the modern day and they kind of evolved him rather than just being, you know, a newer version of the same character. They changed him, made him part of this Venom experiment. The figure itself is really great. That kind of face mask with the dual hoses that goes to his backpack, his sort of crocodile skin vest, you know, a really cool look. And I know people will say, oh, you know, that was the new sculpt era. That stuff was kind of garbage. But I think when Valor versus Venom sort of hit wave 6 and wave 7, they had really made some huge strides in sort of fixing some of the proportion problems. They dialed them back a little bit. They were trying to work them into being more sort of classic O-ring centric. You know, they weren't quite so lanky and so oddly proportioned. Crocmaster still had some long legs, but they're making some really positive moves towards kind of bringing them back down to their classic aesthetic. And Croc Master is a great example of that. It came packaged, I think, in Wave 7 with Bomb Strike, I believe, which is another quality, figure character from that era. This version of Croc Master just really blew me away. And I actually, back when I was doing my Dio stories, inspired me to include him as kind of a Cobra sort of boss, so to speak, and had some pretty cool battles with him and his, venom infused super strength or whatever. And I have a real affinity partly because of that. A lot of times you'll hear me talk fondly about characters, and it was because they got in, they struck me enough that I included them in this Dio story, and I wrote some adventures around them. That's kind of where Hit and Run came from and things like that. So Croc Master was another one of those characters, and the kind of pale green skin he's got. He's a different looking character, remains very cool, and just has a real, there's a real point of nostalgia for me, even though, he wasn't back in the 80s, he was in, the early 2000s, but still a really great rendition of this character, and one that will always be a highlight for me.
The only I totally agree. I think that figure is really cool looking as well. Like, there's just so much awesome design stuff going on with it. It's a really nice update from the previous, where you've got like almost like the opposite part of the head is on, do you know what I mean? Like the original, you can't see any of his face. And then this one, all of a sudden there's a bit exposed. You're like, oh, ooh, interesting. Very Bane-ish going on, kind of that style. Yeah. But and then again, Crocmaster's kind of been a bit Bane-ish from the off, hasn't it? There's been a bit of Bane in there from like day one. But like this particular one, I just loved it. And I loved its introduction. It was in, I can't remember which issue they threw him in randomly, that Croc Master 2, and then killed him off in the same issue in, like, I want to say it was like America's Elite or something like that. It might have been something else.
I think I remember that, yeah.
But I remember that in there, and I'm like, oh, Croc Master 2, and I got really excited, and then he was dead. I was like, oh, okay, thanks.
It's interesting you make that connection to Bane, because doesn't Bane actually use something called Venom to give himself super strength? I've never even made that connection before.
But yeah, there was definitely some Baneage going on there, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely.
But no, beautiful. The only thing I will say, though, is the crocodile is is nowhere near as good.
He looks like a puppy wearing a crocodile suit. He's got like those long legs, and
it's
adorable. Not their best work. I will give you that point.
It's so adorable, though. It's so sweet. So I can't be angry at it, because I just want to snuggle it the whole time. It's gorgeous. But Pat, what are your thoughts on Crocmaster 2? This time it's personal.
I like it. It's an interesting choice. I can remember this one coming up at JoeCon in 2008, maybe, with the design team, because people kept on actually asking for this version of Crocmaster. And they were, one of them was really surprised that this was the version of Crocmaster that came up. But I think this is one of the ones that's a standout of Valor versus Venom. He also has that, like, his vest is interesting, because it really has like the back of the crocodile coming down this way, and it's like two of them, but then his head, or I'm sorry, not his head, the crocodile's head is on his back.
Yeah.
That's a detail that's easily forgotten, since we're always just looking at the front of the figure.
Yeah.
And I like that figure. That figure also benefited so much by having the inserted molded joints on the arms. It was a huge leap ahead. That was actually in the Valor versus Venom line that the 25th line benefited from.
I
think people tend to think of it as just being a strict change to being improved in 2007, but really the Valor versus Venom stuff was getting much better toward the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I like that. I think that as far as an actual figure goes, where this one was kind of lacking was the animal companion. The sculpt on that was not the best. But it overall, it was such a fun figure that it's weird that the figure itself made up for that.
And the tattoo again on the arm is cool. Yeah. You know, there's some, I think the color helps in a big way here, that kind of pale greenish skin to kind of add that element of the backstory. Do you know what I mean? Is great. Also, I love on the card back, it even says with crocodile in like yellow, just like boom, there you go. And then the crocodile is this absolutely beautiful little Pokemon. It's just incredible.
Reminds me of playing Banjo-Kazooie. That's what it reminds me of.
How does Banjo-Kazooie come up more often on our show than any other podcast? There could be a podcast about Banjo-Kazooie that talks about Banjo-Kazooie less than we do.
Yeah. When was the other time we brought up Banjo-Kazooie?
Adam Riches was on the show. Probably the Sergeant Slaughter episode when we're talking about the card art, and Banjo-Kazooie came up for whatever reason.
That seems like right in Adam's wheelhouse. Oh, yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
And then we spoke about that about it afterwards, Pat, on a weekly randomly, and we were talking about Banjo-Kazooie.
Wow.
So yeah, we've talked about that. This is the third time Banjo-Kazooie has come up on this show. Anyway, this is now the full Kazooie. The full banjo. Oh, hideous. Right. Right. Okay. Then. Well. Thank you, Justin. That is a great start to the version therapy, and I must admit, it is a good choice. Pat, what about yourself, buddy? What is your favorite Croc Master, and why?
It's a difficult choice. I tend to go with the original, which you guys really just sent me on a tangent, looking to see which came first, Bane or Croc Master. it definitely seems to be Croc Master.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
I would say the original Croc Master, probably not the Venomized update, though. That was 2005. Bane was out before then. I think maybe they leaned into Bane.
But the similarity of the two as far as the mask goes, yep. I would say Bane is more similar to the original Croc Master.
That's true, yeah.
A little bit of a back and forth as far as appearance goes.
Very true.
January 93, is that what you'll get in?
Yeah.
So definitely a blooming old, what's his Munkin, the first version, definitely. I think that's actually I did the snow job video the other day, and what I didn't realize is A View to a Kill, James Bond, came out in like 85, 87 or something like that. 87. But that's the movie where he's in all white, he's got the fluffy hood, and he looks just like snow job like
100%. You're right.
But even so, like, snow job was out in 83.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, I wonder if they took the am I thinking was there an earlier thing that happened where there was like snow guys in all white?
Maybe both of them
were based on that. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can't argue that G.I. Joe back in those 80s in its heyday was a cultural phenomenon.
That's true.
The likes of which, you know, people these days don't necessarily appreciate. Like, if I don't even know if there's a brand out there now that you can really say is equivalent to what G.I. Joe was back then, because I mean it just was everywhere and influenced everything.
Fortnite, it's not the same though, is it? It's not as
the world's a different place.
You're right.
I'm not sure that such a brand could exist these days that just dominates everything the way G.I. Joe did back then. But who knows? I mean, it's possible. It'd be kind of interesting if Croc Master influenced Bane, who then in turn influenced a future version of Croc Master. I mean, it's a neat idea.
We'll just say that's how it happened, and then it's fact.
Yeah,
then
it's
fact.
It seems likely.
You haven't told us your choice yet, actually, Pat. I just realized.
That's true. I'm just gonna drag it out and come up with other things you have to find pictures of. It's base wrong and everything. This episode, I'm terrible on some facts this time. It was difficult because I really gravitate toward the original. Just thinking about the leap that they took when they're like, let's include a crocodile. And then having to figure out, you know, the anatomy to draw up the sketches of what they wanted, and then have somebody sculpt that perfectly. So I love the original.
A lot of detail on that original as well. A lot of really good detail on it.
Yeah. The crocodile, I think it's been hard to surpass that one.
Yeah.
But the
Fiona might have surpassed that one right there.
it's the wrong scale for me. I still prefer the original one over Fiona, to be honest.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go, though, with version 4 for Croc Master, because all the stuff that got packed in with that figure,
oh my goodness,
was stuff that to me made sense. I mean, his name is Croc Master. He's going to be handling the crocodiles of Cobra Island. But yeah, the fact that it included a couple of snakes makes sense to me. You're throwing snakes. up in my face. So I was wondering if that was that's the one from the new Serpentor, though, right?
Oh yeah, that isn't the Croc-Master one.
Interesting how similar the coils are. That like the slithery part, how similar it is to the one that was included with
similar color as well. Yeah, I think they went. They probably looked at that and gone, "There's a good, you know, there's something from the actual canon that we can utilize." I guess.
Yeah, it's excellent, and I kind of wonder if you'll see that the one included with Serpentor in the Indiana Jones line.
Ooh.
But yeah, I think that one that Croc-Master makes a lot of sense because he just comes with a lot of gear. The original one is a great figure. The gear that's included with it helps to sell the character a lot. But this one was such an improvement even over the 25th one, which was mimicking the original.
Yes.
And I do love the openable mouth, and I love the one that's on Fiona, the way that they did that in the 6-inch scale. But yeah, I'm going to go with this version of Croc-Master just because I really like the loadout. And the color change to being a little bit more yellow.
Yeah.
And the 25th green one was an interesting choice. They had kind of needed to make it different for Pursuit of Cobra, but it kind of looks like a color that we sometimes did see Croc-Master in. It feels like it's almost like a tone that you would still see.
Yeah, totally. That
maybe just a lighting thing in some situation.
Yeah.
So it's weird how it like whenever you look at it compared to, and I mean, some of the pictures I'm pulling up of version one Croc-Master, I know for sure are the Fun School Croc-Master. And if you almost compare the Fun School green to the American standard release, the standard release does start to lean more toward that yellowish color. So it's just a neat color for Croc-Master. But for me, mostly it was about the gear that was included, making a lot of sense and really turning him into a deluxe figure. So that's why I picked that one.
Awesome. And it's a good shout as well. I mean, Pursuit of Cobra never fails to, you know, impress or satisfy. Did that net come with Shadow Tracker first, or did it come with Croc-Master first?
Shadow Tracker, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was a good reuse then in that case. That was a really smart reuse. And yeah, you're right. Amazing, awesome kind of gear and, you know, a classic for Pursuit of Cobra at the time. But the fact they threw in all those animals as well, like the fact you've got the croc and you've got the snakes, and that is kind of like that little bucket, isn't it? Like the kind of little transparent bucket with the, I forget what that type of snake is called.
The coral snake?
Coral snake. Yeah, thank you. And yeah, really impressed with that. Now, what's interesting, Pat, is that I've kind of gone in a very similar way to you on this, in that as much as I kind of think, We're not talking about the best figure. We're talking about our favorite versions. There's a difference, right? And obviously a lot of things come into that. And like you say, it's difficult to pull away from that vintage, that first one, because I've so many great memories of it. Still have the figure, still have the crocodile, still have all of the stuff going on. And, you know, like, so that is like something that's like really close to my heart. But one of my favorites has a lot to do with the fact that I am a little bit of a repaint kind of enthusiast, especially when it comes to sub-teams. So I think you're going to know where I'm going with this, and that is the 50th version, which was effectively a Python Patrol Croc-Master. Now, this, to me, was just, again, like what Pat has just said, all of the things you've just said about that version of the figure, you can just transplant and put onto this one, because you're getting the same gear, you're getting the same like animals, you're getting the Cobra now is in a different deco as well. And this is the bit for me that just pushes it into G.I. Joe territory, where it's like Spearhead and Max. Sorry, Max, we're going to have to paint you black for Night Force. I hope you don't mind. So get in the bath. We're going to put the hair dye on you. You know, like brilliant. Bobcats loved that. You know, that kind of thing. This is a red crocodile, which just to me is like either this is some sort of weird mutation in the genome, right? Or they've painted this crocodile red. And I want
they
it
pythonized
to be.
Pythonized him, of course. They exactly. Like sprayed him with whatever that pythonizing stuff is. That they.
They've made him stealth now. No, he won't show up on radar, thankfully. Although I don't think he was going to be showing up on radar anyway, but that's not the point. The fact that they did that, and I thought, and my head goes to they've literally sprayed him red, is just, I don't know, just makes it even funnier for me. And so that, again, like, lifts this figure up to different levels. And the fact that they that this figure exists with a blowtorch that was in that deco that never came out, and we all expected it to come out, and then they did another blowtorch instead that was the same, effectively the same deco, which we were all kind of like, but why? And then this one came out, and we're like, okay, but now we've got 16 blowtorches.
The good old days.
Oh, that was weird. But anyway, I love that they got that deco of blowtorch out, but I was even happier with the fact that we got this Python Patrol one out. Now, am I right in saying that it's based on a concept that didn't quite come out at the time? And that I can't remember the details on it, though.
I believe it was a custom figure. I think somebody did a custom figure of Grockmaster and the Python Patrol, and Hasbro took inspiration from that. I'm not sure. I think it was, kind of back when Gary Gogglehead was still around, and I think he was kind of showcased the custom a little bit and
kind of
I
championing
think that kind of got it on Hasbro's radar. Or
see, that kind of rings a bell to me now. Like at the time, I feel like that was what was happening. Yeah. Well, in any case, I'm really glad they've done it, and I'm also glad that it exists in canon technically, because that means we're very likely to see this repainted Python Patrol version done in the Classified series. So, and I just can't wait to see a red Fiona. I want to see how they approach that. I'll call it a different name, obviously, because you know that'd be great. Just Crocmaster and Steven, or I don't know. I can't think of another name off the top of my head because there aren't that many in the world. But anyway, that's my favorite, mainly because of the Python aspect, the Python Patrol aspect, but also because the Pursuit of Cobra figure was so good, and I was so enamored with the work that they'd done on that line, that I was really glad that we got the Python Patrol version one after the fact. So that's my fave. In terms of if I was to say the kind of most a phenomenal figure of Crocmaster. For me personally, it's the classified version. I mean, this thing is like next level. Like this, so, as I drop a few of the accessories, so many amazing aspects to this incredible figure. Just look at that. Look at what's going on there. So much detail and just incredible design work on that one. So,
if you're not a scale snob like Patrick is, then I think you can you can appreciate the 6-inch version.
Brilliant. I've lost his hook is what I've lost. That's I'm going to stand on it later. Anyway, yeah, brilliant stuff. Well, that's version therapy then, guys. I mean, let us know your favorites. Are from the vast amounts of Crocmaster versions that there are. There's only about seven, actually. Even if you count the classified one, I think there's only seven versions. So it was difficult finding what a good figure for the version therapy that ticked boxes of an animal companion, multiple versions to choose from. But I think we still did well with Crocmaster because we all came up with different ideas on this one, which was great. But yeah, awesome stuff. So that brings us to the end, guys. Thank you so much for jumping on, really appreciate it. Like I said, let us know in the comments of your what you want to see in the classified series for animal companions for Cobra, and also let us know your favorite Crocmaster version and why in the comments below. Justin, thanks for jumping on, buddy, really appreciate you being back on again. Good to see
anytime.
You
anytime. Awesome. Anytime, I'm glad I could make it.
Of course, Pat, same to you, my man. Thanks for jumping on again, and I'll be seeing you tomorrow, actually, for the weekly.
Sounds good. Yeah, it'll be the return to the weekly. It's been a while.
It has been ages, hasn't it? I don't think people have been without their Pat fix now for 3 weeks, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it's going to be off again for a little bit.
That's sad. I'm gonna have to force Justin to jump on the weekly instead. We'll have to do the episodes on Friday, Justin, just to
figure that out.
I don't want to go back to editing. That's rubbish. Editing is the worst.
Yeah, don't blame you.
Anyway, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for jumping on. And we've got loads more coming up for you guys. Loads more news burst extras coming up. Name only reveal deep dives. You name it, we're gonna be doing it. And we've obviously got the weeklies and all that jazz. So yeah, lots to come. That brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining us for the Full Force Monthly. Massive thank you to my awesome co-hosts Patrick Stewart and Justin Bell. See you next month. And as always, after 3, 1, 2, 3,
Full Force!
Brilliant. That was amazing. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.